Okay, great. I'm really enjoying Amanda's presentation, and I think she mentioned some of the really interesting and important insights about communicating about vaccines in a sort of clinical setting. And so right now I'm going to share with you some of the research we've been doing at University of Maryland about how vaccines are being communicated in the mass media, particularly in the online and social media. And I'm going to focus on the HPV vaccine in particular. Oh, I was told that I need to do this at the beginning of my presentation. It was pretty new for a communication researcher. So first of all, I want to show you some data. And, you know, I'm a social scientist, and, you know, I like to talk about data. So this chart is a summary of some of the data coming from the 2014 Health Information National Trends Survey. Anyone heard of that survey in this room? Yes, it's really good survey and connected periodically by the National Cancer Institute. It's a great database about health information seeking, communication, all sorts of really interesting questions. So I looked up this particular question they asked their participants. The most recent time you looked for information about health or medical topics, where did you go first? So overwhelmingly, we saw that people went to the internet right away, and nearly 50% of the people they surveyed indicated they went to the internet first for health or medical information. And I think that says a lot about how important it is for us to understand and examine health information being communicated online. And this is what I'm going to do today. So my talk today is going to be focusing on the HPV vaccine. We've done research particularly focusing on this vaccine. I don't think I need to explain the vaccine in this room. I assume most of you are very familiar with this vaccine, and it is a vaccine that prevents HPV infections, which are the primary cause for a variety of cancers, including cervical cancer and other, you know, diseases. And the CDC recommends that boys and girls at 11 or 12 age old need to get this vaccine. Now the challenge is that the uptake rates or completion rates of this vaccine is not very good at this moment. You know, I mean, this based on this survey, and which is through the year 2012. So the new data may show a little bit difference, but I mean, I think the number are pretty much almost the same. So for females, the vaccines recommended for both males and females. For females, the completion rate hovers around 30%, and among boys, it's not even close to 10%. So this is completely unacceptable when we look at the other two adolescent vaccines, which were introduced about the same time as the HPV vaccine, and now those two vaccines, the completion rates are about 20, even 90%. So why is it that, you know, the HPV vaccines not getting, you know, getting people's attention? We're not getting our kids vaccinated against HPV. Now, in this is a report, a 2012 report prepared by the president's cancer panel, and was presented to the President of the United States about, you know, the current status of cancer in this nation. So in this particular report, there was this call that, or this conclusion, that underuse of the HPV vaccine is a serious and correctable threat to progress against cancer. So this is obviously in our government's radar right now. You know, we need to do more about really accelerating the uptake rates of the HPV vaccine. And interestingly, actually, in this report, there is a specific call for more communication research to, you know, find out, you know, what is the best, you know, communication strategies that we can use to try to promote this vaccine, either in a clinical setting or, you know, in a mass media setting. So we started by looking at online search results. Because, you know, through our research, we found that, you know, when people go online and trying to find out information about any health topic, they go to search engines first, okay? And that's the place they start looking for information. So we conducted a study in which we sort of mimic the kind of behavior that typical parents or consumers would do when they go online. So we looked at four particular search engines. They're all very popular search engines, Google, Yahoo, Bing, and Ask.com. And we used a number of search terms that are commonly used in online search about the HPV vaccine. A couple of these terms are included here. Research has shown that you know, people typically just visit the top 10 sites when they go online and search the results. They are not going to see all the search findings. So we retain the first 10 sites from each search. As you can see, we have seven search terms here, and with four different search engines. So we did 28 searches in total, and then we returned the first 10 sites from each search. In the end, we end up with 89% unique sites. So through our search, we got a lot of duplicate sites, so we got rid of them, and then we retained in the end 89 unique sites. And so we coded, we have these sites, and we coded these sites, and we hired two research assistants who are not the authors of this paper, and they were told to code these sites for a variety of characteristics. So including the source of this site, you know, who sponsored this site, who's, you know, in general, who's providing content for the site. And the overall tone of this site, is it for or against or being neutral to the HPV vaccine? And we also coded if there's any content related to, you know, conspiracy theories about this vaccine being controlled by the industry or government and trying to, you know, trick the parents, you know, into this decision. And also mentioning about parents' inherent right to choose to make medical decisions for their children instead of being told by the government about how to, you know, make the decision. So we looked at those issues as well. And then we also coded a number of variables related to, kind of contained in the health belief model, and which, you know, included a number of concepts. So we looked at, were there any discussion about the benefits barriers of this, you know, of taking the vaccine. So the benefits of getting the vaccine was operationalized as, you know, how effective this vaccine is for preventing all these diseases, including cancer. Now, barriers to getting the vaccine was operationalized as, you know, safety concerns about this vaccine. And then we also looked at any information that's related to, you know, how much the parents believe that their children are at risk of getting HPV, so perceived susceptibility. And severity relates to how serious they think, you know, the diseases are, or getting an HPV infection is. Is that a serious health problem or not? And then we also looked for information about, you know, self-efficacy. You know, do parents in general believe that they have the ability to get this vaccine for their children, any financial concerns or logistic concerns. So these are all the information we looked for in this website, and we had our research assistants to code these websites for these characteristics. And overall, our intercoder reliability was quite good. considering that these categories are not that ambiguous. They're pretty clear cut, so they were able to code these sites in a pretty consistent way. Now, we had a number of interesting findings. I just want to show, you know, sort of highlight some of these because I want to talk about three studies we did recently. So in terms of the source of the websites, we found that the majority of a lot of the websites were coming from nonprofit and academic organizations, followed by governmental agencies and pharmaceutical companies provided a lot of the content. News organizations, of course, are a major source. We also find a good amount of consumer-generated content, you know, meaning that these people are not affiliated with particular organization, so they are just regular patients or users, and they went online and talk about this vaccine. And some other categories, like medical websites and other professional organizations, medical centers and hospitals. So there are a variety of sources that provide content about this vaccine online. Now this is, you know, I think the key finding of our research is that we want to look at, you know, how positive or negative this information is toward this vaccine. And we found that, oh, interestingly, you know, actually this not too bad, right? We would think that, you know, the online world and there's no control whatsoever. You know, everybody can talk about what they wanted to, but it seems like, you know, first of all, most of the information seems to be neutral. It's, you know, information like, you know, there's a new vaccine and this is the HPV vaccine, what does that do? And things like that seems to be neutral, but also there's a good amount of positive information there. And in comparison, you know, there's a little bit of negative information as well about the safety, you know, some of the safety concerns and other, you know, like conspiracy theories, of course. And some of the information is ambiguous. But overall, when you look at this chart, you see, you know, I'm not too alarmed about, you know, the online search results. And then we did another analysis. We looked at different sources and look at the content and see how negative or positive the content is. As divided by sources, and this is very interesting. And we found some sort of sharp differences across different categories or source of the information. When you look at governmental agencies, of course, you know, nothing's negative about the vaccine, and which is kind of, you know, understandable. But then when you look at the news organizations, some of the newspaper website or network news sites, you can tend to see more negative information about the vaccine, which is kind of disappointing because the news organization is supposed to be, you know, reporting what's accurate and what's official about this vaccine. Now, when you look at consumer-generated content, that's an area that's really a concern. For all the websites we found, we didn't find anything that's generated by consumers themselves. Nothing's positive. All of them are negative, have a negative tone toward this vaccine. So I think this is quite interesting when we look at the tone by source. Now, because we found consumer-generated content is, you know, tends to have a sort of negative tone toward this vaccine, and then, you know, we decided, okay, let's look at the consumer generated content in particular, and let's look at the YouTube, where it's, you know, the place for people to go to post their videos or, you know, to share their views about particular issue. YouTube really is an amazing platform for communication, and it has over 2 billion views a day and 24 hours video uploaded every minute. An average person spends at least 15 minutes a day on the site, and it has the biggest reach, compared to all cable TV combined, I believe, and that was the statistics that I found about YouTube. So we did analysis on YouTube videos, and we looked for videos related to the HPV vaccine, of course. We used the same search terms, but we retained the first 50 videos because people really go further down to look for additional videos. And then these videos were sorted by relevance, because they can be sorted by data uploading as well. So we want to sort it by relevance, because these are the videos people typically found when they, when they use these key terms. And in the end, we were able to find 172 unique videos about the HPV vaccine. And for YouTube videos, we did a similar analysis, but we also coded something that's unique to YouTube videos, like number of views, number of likes, number of dislikes, and a source tone, and additional all these variables I mentioned earlier. We had a little bit lower encoder reliability on this one, because when we have a video, when we try to code the information on videos, it's a little bit more ambiguous than you go to the website and look for the information on the site. I forgot to show you. And this is how the number of views and number of likes and dislikes are typically shown on video site, YouTube sites. Okay, so now we look at the tone of videos, and as compared to the search results I shared earlier, as you can see on YouTube, you pretty much find mostly negative information about the HPV vaccine, and some positive and ambiguous and neutral, but predominantly we see negative videos about the HPV vaccine. Oh. Something really interesting is that we did analysis, try to look, look for it to see if there's any relationship between the tone of the video and the number of likes, whether people tend to like negative videos more than positive video. And we actually found a significant correlation or significant relationship between tone of video and number of likes. And it seems like negative videos are liked more, received more likes than positive videos, which is kind of interesting. Okay, now, so the previous two studies, we pretty much just went online and looked for relevant information about the HPV vaccine, but the critical question is that, does this information have any kind of impact on people who potentially can see them, right? I mean, does that impact people's beliefs or attitudes or behaviors related to HPV vaccine? And that's a really critical question, because if it doesn't impact us in any way, then there's no point of actually looking at those communication online. So we decided we wanted to do an experiment and try to test the impact of these content. And then we decided, we looked at search results and we looked at YouTube videos, and let's look at blogs, right? Blogs are, right now, blogs is a huge, it is a very important source for health information right now, and a lot of, there are a lot of health-related blogs out there, and many people actually read health blogs on a regular basis to get their health information. So we decided we wanted to conduct an experiment where we create these sort of fictitious blogs and test their impact on the viewers, the readers. So we recruited, college students, 341, and then we created three conditions in which people were shown either positive blog or negative blog or no blog at all. So the blog, actually we adapted the information from existing blog. We did not actually write these blogs. So we just tried to find online, locate a bunch of positive blogs and a bunch of negative blogs, and just randomly sort of select one from each category, and then making sure that the format or everything on the blog stay the same. It's just the one content wise, the positive blog really sort of represents a pretty typical blog online about the HPV vaccine, and the negative blog, which is also sort of representative or typical of what we see online about this particular vaccine. So we had students to read either the positive block or negative block and no block at all. And then I want to show you our finding, which is kind of interesting. Okay, so in this chart, you know, as you can imagine, and so this chart shows the impact of exposure to positive versus negative block. As you can see, those who are exposed to the positive block, they typically end up with more positive belief attitudes and intentions toward this vaccine. As you can see, there's a difference compared to the control group. So this is the zero represents the control group as the baseline. Okay, so in comparison, the positive group end up with better, you know, more positive beliefs or and except for this one, actually intentions, one of the intention measures actually decreased after people have seen the positive block. But you know, when you look at the negative ones, actually, you know, people's beliefs and attitudes sort of decreased sharply after they were exposed to the negative block. So you know, we sort of see the pattern we kind of expected. What was not expected was that how different the pattern is, how drastic differently the impact was, you know, for the positive versus negative block. In that, you know, after seeing the negative block, people's attitudes were so, you know, attitudes and beliefs were much more negative compared to, the positive block. So this is a kind of interesting, as you know, we sort of see this asymmetrical kind of impact of negative versus positive information. So a couple of conclusions from this research. In terms of online search results, we believe that, you know, the results tend to be mixed. We find positive and negative information sort of coexisting in the online search results, but overall the results are positive. But in terms of user-generated content, including YouTube, we see, you know, there's predominantly negative information. And there is this really interesting asymmetrical impact of positive versus negative information. And our thinking is that, is it due to the positivity or negativity of the information? So this is possible because in psychology there is something called negativity bias, in that we tend to respond more strongly to negative information, and negative information tends to be more psychologically impactful than positive information. So maybe just because of negativity of the information. Now, another possibility we saw is that, you know, actually the blocks we used, as you might recall, in the positive block, it seems to be like, you know, really bland, you know, description about, oh, this vaccine is safe, many people have gotten this vaccine and nobody dies, you know, and this vaccine is effective. And so, I mean, there's a lot of talk and a lot of statistics actually in that positive version. But in the negative version, as you can see, actually, it's a story about a teenage girl who got this vaccine and got some kind of, you know, terrible disease afterwards. So was it about the positivity and negativity, or about the difference between presenting statistical versus narrative information, right? So that's another, you know, possibility. Of course, you know, throughout from our study, we weren't able to determine because these two variables sort of confounded. So a number of implications. What do we need to do as communication researchers on this particular issue? Now, you know, it seems like we need to continue to monitor online information. I do believe there is a tremendous need to monitor online information, and through studies like this and perhaps down the road, more comprehensive research to examine online information. And then more importantly, need to test the impact of online information. And, you know, I you know, we couldn't find many studies on this topic, and we were able to find a lot of content analysis studies, but in terms of the impact of this information, there's very few studies out there, you know, looking at how this information can actually have impact on parents' beliefs and attitudes and behaviors. And from a practical kind of point of view, since we have so much negative information online, you know, mainly through user-generated information, is there anything we can do to counteract this misleading information? Because such information could potentially influence parents' viewpoint on vaccines, and, you know, certainly is there anything we can do to counteract this misleading information? And finally, there is a tremendous need to strengthen our sort of accurate information through communicated, maybe through official channels like government agencies. You know, perhaps we should use stories or narratives more when we communicate information, you know, even positive information about vaccine. And actually, Amanda mentioned earlier how we should not just dump the stats or facts because they don't work as well as compared to narratives or stories. So maybe there's there is a tremendous need to strengthen accurate information. So on the other hand, okay. Okay, that's my presentation. Thank you.